Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
Like, I love pulling out, like, an aeroplane fact. Like, that's my love language, like, way of flirting. It's like a slide into the DM, like... Welcome back to another episode of Girls Know Nothing. You'll probably recognise the next guest as the big sister we all wish we had growing up. Year of the Bad Bee, Not the Sad Bee, inspires and encourages young women to be the very best version of themselves. Victoria Wright, also known as Vickaboo, has amassed over 800,000 followers on TikTok by speaking candidly on taboo subjects such as periods and mental health, as well as general life problems including insecurities and relationships. Welcome to the studio, Vickaboo. I actually can't believe that this is your first podcast.
I've never done a pod.
I feel really upset for you that no one's invited you on to talk.
I was happy this is my first pod.
Well, I'm really glad that I got the exclusive first. And now if anyone else poaches you as a guest for the podcast, I'm just going to say I started it first.
Yeah, I was here first.
Do you know what it is? I think it was when we did the Superdrug event together and you told me that you'd used to work in engineering and you'd lived in the Philippines and this stuff, and I was like, I did not know this stuff about you. And I was like, maybe it's just that I'm not as OG on TikTok, because it took me a while to get TikTok, or that I just feel like there isn't that much known about it on the internet about you.
It's like one of those, like, tell me a fun fact about yourself things, I think, because it's so different to what I do now. Like, I don't, maybe I should speak about it a little bit more, but it's just not something I really delve into or like talk about. So when I tell people, they're like, what? Like, yeah, like a STEM girly.
I think it's like, because there aren't that many women in STEM, especially in public facing roles, like on TikTok, that it actually does shock people.
Yeah, I think so as well.
And when you told me some of the things you have done in the past, I mean, we can't talk about all of them, but I was like, oh my God, like, you have done the stuff that I would never imagine.
I don't think anyone expects it either, which is like what makes it so fun. Like, I love pulling out like an aeroplane fact. That's my love language, like way of flirting. It's like a slide into the DM, like,
tell me an aeroplane fact.
So my favorite one, do you watch Friends?
I do.
Do you remember on the one episode of Friends when they made up the plane part and they're like, there's something wrong with the flange? And they're like, there's no such thing as a flange.
Yeah.
There is actually a part called a flange. It's in the A350 galley. That's like my favourite thing.
I
love it.
I thought the flange was a completely made up thing.
No, it's a real thing.
That's my new Hinge line. You know that prompt, and it's like, tell me a fact and I'm gonna steal
There's
it.
It's actually a thing called a flange.
I'm gonna quote you on that though. That's amazing. But what made you want to get into STEM in the first place?
It's so funny. Like, I would love to sit here and say it was like my lifelong dream, but it actually wasn't. Like, I genuinely didn't have an interest in anything to do with engineering until I was doing it. Like, I completely fell in love with it, but it just wasn't something I thought was going to happen. Like, even when I got the job, I remember I was working in customer service for like a fashion company and I wanted to work in fashion. And my dad worked for the company I worked for. He still works there now at the time. And he's like, well, why didn't you apply for a job here? I was like, no, I'm not really interested. And then this one job came up And he was like, oh, just let me give your CV in because it's like, fine, you'll get to travel. Like, it's a really great job, really good opportunity. You can go back into fashion after you've got some experience. And they just weren't interested in me at all. They got rid of my CV and I was like, cool, I don't really bothered. Like, it's fine. And then it was so weird. So, like, my dad works on the shop floor. So one of the procurement, like, commodity managers had like, an issue on the shop floor. And my dad had fixed it. And he's like, I owe you a favor. And my dad being like my biggest cheerleader is like, actually, can I cash in on that favor? Could you give my daughter an interview, but not on the premise of getting the job?
Yeah.
Just for interview practice for her. But when she's going, because she wants to work in a more corporate role. So like, it'd be good to get some feedback. And they're like, yeah, no problem. And then he came home that day and was like, I've got you the interview. Go and get yourself the job. And then I got the job the next day.
That's amazing. I love that. I think when you hear about girls in STEM, it's always that their lifelong career and they've had to like work against the men in their life to be able to get to it. But to hear that your dad actually kind of helped you.
Yeah, he was like, go for it. He's like, trust me, you will love it. And I was like, And it took like a few months, I think, to like get settled and actually really get into it. But when I was working, I worked there for years. I absolutely loved it.
So what were you actually doing?
So I started off as like a buyer. So where I had no qualifications in that field, no experience, didn't really know what I was doing. It was like almost like an unofficial apprentice role.
Okay.
So they took me in as a buyer. And at that time, it was in what like engineers call like firefighting mode. So there really was no time to train me or teach me anything about the inside of the aircrafts, the galleys, the crew, no time whatsoever. So they kind of put me in as like a admin-y type job, and I didn't have a manager either when I joined. Like,
good.
The day that I turned up, they were like, your manager left yesterday. So I didn't have a manager and I was literally like, oh, what am I doing? So I ended up like literally raising purchase orders for things. I didn't even know what they were. I was just copying off of paper for quite a long time. And then I got this like new manager came in. She's a woman, fantastic. Like, literally, she's like shaped me as a person. She's amazing. And she was like, what do you do like on your day to day? I was like, oh, I just raise purchase orders, do invoices. And she's like, but you're a buyer. And I'm like, it's just this, everyone's busy, like, it's fine. And then she ended up saying like, okay, if you're going to be the admin girl, you're going to be the admin girl. And she sent me to the Philippines to like basically learn all of the admin, come back, train everyone, and then focus on the buy-in. So I went from like buyer to tactical buyer to strategic buyer, procurement specialist, and in my last role I was like a procurement manager.
That's amazing. How, what was it like to live in the Philippines?
Well, I was there like on like a secondment.
Yeah.
So I was just in a hotel. I think I spoke to you about this at Superdrug Presents. It was such a culture shock for me because I've never really been out of Europe. So for me, like, I didn't really know what to expect. And my dad had traveled out there himself like quite a few times with the company because a lot of our manufacturing was done in the Philippines. And it was amazing. Like, I loved it. I've made such good friends there. Like, I miss the girls there so much. Like, we used to send each other like gifts through the office post.
Aww.
So like, if there was like manufacturing shipments going to the Philippines, we'd like pop something on there. Or like, if anyone else was going out there, like, we'd be like, can I just give you some bits just to give to the girls? And then they would do it back. So we were constantly just had things going back and forwards.
So nice.
Like, the relationships I built there. And it's so different to the UK office because the UK office is predominantly men.
Yeah.
In the Philippines, it's just all girls, girl power.
I love that.
It's amazing.
That was part of the culture shock as well.
Yeah, literally. I was like, oh my God, there's so many women. I loved it.
Yeah, I would have loved it. And it's sunny.
Yeah, and it's sunny.
But I guess when you say it's a culture shock, I think I made this joke to you at Superdrug because you're so tall as well. In the Philippines, I bet it was like,
tall girl. Literally. I went to a shopping centre. I think I told you before, because where I stayed was like, there wasn't really too much to do. And I think when you say the Philippines, people instantly think like by the beaches.
Yeah.
Like these beautiful, tranquil beaches. Like, I was like just outside of Manila in Alabang. So there wasn't too much to do other than just shop and go out to eat. And even like the restaurants were not like Filipino restaurants. It was like a fish and chip shop. It was so random. But I went into the shopping center and like all these school kids like ran over to me. I'm like, can we take a picture of you? I was like, yeah, sure. Like, why? I don't get it. I think it's because I'm Western and tall.
Yeah, literally.
That was what it was. I was like, oh, okay.
It used to happen to me when I was a baby in Indonesia because I was like the biggest white baby you've ever seen in my life, in their life. So no, I get it. I think that's quite funny, but little did they know. They're probably looking at your TikToks now being like, I've got a picture of her.
Could you imagine?
Back in the day, going to get all of those out.
I still speak to a lot of the girls that live there, and like it's so weird because they've like had children, they're married, and I like, if I was still working with the company, I probably would have like tried to blag a trip to get out for one of their weddings or something like that, but oh. I obviously can't now. But I still, like, when I do lives and TikTok lives and stuff like that, they always pop in and like say hi. I'm like, oh my girls.
I know you said briefly like you didn't go to uni. Would you ever consider studying for an engineering degree now?
I think I would. Like, as a, when you think of procurement, you don't typically think of engineering. And I think for a long time, I never acknowledged myself as a woman in STEM because I didn't have a degree in it. My job title wasn't such and such engineer, but my job was easily like 70% engineering based. The first job I had to do in the daytime was log onto an engineering database, go through parts, look at raw materials. Like, it was very heavily engineering based job. So actually, yeah, I think I would love to do some sort of like mechanical engineering if I was to, because I think that's the route I was probably going down with the company, maybe looking at going into mechanical engineering. But I downloaded TikTok and here we are.
What was the hardest part of working in your old job?
I think it's a very male dominated industry. And I don't, until you're in that environment and in that space, I don't think you realise how masculine and how male dominated that kind of space is. It's very hard to team up and build relationships with women in the industry when there is hardly any women. So that was quite difficult for me. I think being so young and inexperienced as well as being a young girl, that was really difficult as well, because I feel like I was fighting to be taken seriously as a woman, be taken seriously as like a early 20 year old girl, and to be taken seriously as somebody with no qualifications in this field, no experience, literally fresh set of eyes. That was quite difficult, but, and it took time, but I got there.
You said you downloaded TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
What made you want to download TikTok in the first place?
So I'd moved jobs from this aerospace company and I'd ended up moving cities. So I moved to Stevenage and I didn't know anyone, like even in my house share that I'd gone into, I was like the first one in there. It was like a new house. Nobody lived there. So I didn't really have like a social life. My mum would like come down on the weekends and like stay with me and stuff like that. But there was just not an opportunity to really mingle and meet people. And then lockdown hit. I think I was 2 months, maybe a month into the job.
Okay.
And lockdown hit. And they literally were like, just take your stuff and go home. Like you're all going to be working from home for the foreseeable. So I ended up going back to Milton Keynes for a bit. And then it's so funny. Like, Joe, when people say like, oh, I downloaded TikTok because I didn't really have anything else to do. I was on furlough. I had stuff to do. I should have been working.
Queen of procrastination.
Literally. I was like, I had stuff to do. I was still working all through lockdown. And then I went back to Steve and I was just bored, lonely. I wasn't clicking with the job as well as I did the other job. And I think I had such a like passion for aerospace. I still do. I love it. Something wasn't clicking with this other job. I didn't really get it. I didn't really like it. And I just would come home from work and just be like, oh, I hate this. Like, I hate life. Why did I leave? Downloaded the app just to mingle, make some friends. Here we are.
Yeah, is it 3 years later?
Yeah, literally.
And a whole new career.
Yeah.
What was the kind of content that you were originally putting out on TikTok?
I feel like...
Were you one of the dancers?
No, absolutely not. I feel like any of my followers that are watching this are probably going to crack up. Because I used to have this like, had like the Apple, not AirPods, like the earphones. And I used to speak into a little microphone. And I think where I was so just angry at the world, I used to just let out like vent onto TikTok. And I used to just come out with the most, not controversial, but just like the swear words that I used to say on that app. Like I used to post something and then it'd be like community guidelines strike. I'd be like, what's going on? But I think because I was so frustrated with life, I would just let my daily frustrations out on TikTok and people ended up resonating with them. And then gradually as time went on and I started filming other things like self-care routines that I do and why I do them and things like that, I think we ended up forming like quite a nice little community of a space where people can just relate to. But my initial TikTok content then to now is just so different.
How come you made that like transition? Was it just gradual? Or did you actually think, well, I want to do more of this like community style content?
Yeah, I think originally, like, it was like a gradual transition, I guess. But at the same time, I think when you accidentally build a platform, you do have almost like a duty of care for those people in a way that you're like, I want to be a role model. Like, I think at one point I had like 150,000 followers. I was like, oh, that's 150 people that are tuning in, or 150,000 people that are tuning in to me. I want to make a difference with that. And then I think as I started growing gradually, it was like, I can actually do something with this rather than just sit and moan on TikTok. I want to make it a safe space because I'm all about the girl power anyway. I always have been. So yeah, I think it was at that point I was just like,
Is that what made you want to quit your job and start doing TikTok full time?
I think I really wanted to do it full time. I didn't know if I'd be able to do it full time, and I was very nervous. And the job that I was in was a really well paying job. Like, it was a good big girl money. Like, it was a good corporate job, and it paid so well. My dad was so proud of me for getting in there as well. Like, obviously I'd just moved his working space, and I was a bit like, oh, like, I don't want to disappoint anyone. Well, if it doesn't work out, like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't go back to the aerospace company just yet. They've just all bought me loads of presents because I've left. So it's like, I can't just go back there. So I was like, I don't know what to do. But I'm a creative person. I've always been creative. I love being in a creative space. So I just thought, just F it. Like, I'm just going to do it. I saved up. I think I knew I was going to leave in December. I saved up until February. March time, left. I was on gardening leave for 2 months and then I was gone. So I'm just going to try it and just see what happens.
That must have been really, really scary.
It was.
Do you ever sit there and regret that decision?
Absolutely not. I miss the aerospace industry sometimes because I feel like it shaped me a lot as a woman. But then also I'm like, I love what I do now. Like, I'm so grateful for it. I wouldn't ever want to do anything else. But I do miss like the rush of like being in that industry, but I don't think it's something I regret.
I know, like, briefly you just said that you felt like you started to feel like you had a responsibility to your followers to promote a positive, safe space. Do you ever get really paranoid or self-conscious or overthink the content you are creating because of that responsibility?
Yeah, I'm one of those people. I never want to upset anyone. Like, if I upset one person by saying something that isn't even offensive, like, I'll just delete the whole video and I'm like, I'm so sorry that offended you. Like, I'm honestly, I hate offending people. So I feel like sometimes there is a little bit of pressure, but you know, you can't please everyone.
TikTok must be a really scary place for you to be then. Because you could never make everyone happy on
there.
I'm
like, let's not say that.
But I love your TikToks though, because, you know, I find that they are very raw. And that, I think that's one of the best things about TikTok, is that the content that's created is very raw, very open. And there's a lot of things that I've seen you put out there, like, you know, about your niece and about your mum that you probably don't see from many other content creators.
Yeah.
I guess, what was the biggest achievement you've had since doing TikTok full time?
Do you know what was really nice? STEM and influencing, like you said, there's not really a crossover with that. And last year I got to present on the blue carpet, which is like the Disney red carpet for the new Buzz Lightyear movie. And I did that with the female lead. And I never thought there'd be a day where I would be doing something in influencing that has that little kind of sprinkle of STEM, women in STEM. But because it was the Buzz Lightyear like premiere, I was speaking to so many people and they'd invited so many women in STEM. So many. And it was like, oh my God, I'm like interviewing people that I genuinely have quite a lot in common with. And it was actually really interesting. Like, for me, that was a huge achievement because I just never thought I'd see the day that the two cross over.
I think I'm quite jealous that you were invited to Buzz Lightyear, to be honest. Like, I'm like, wow. No, I think if you ever like considered probably starting to do more content for STEM girlies.
I would love to. It's just the only thing that like doesn't put me off, because I could talk about it for hours. It's more so like, it's such a difficult role to explain, and it was such a like a different position. Like, on paper, like, I was probably, you'd probably think, if you heard of like a procurement or a supply chain person, you think of just number crunching and like tapping on a computer, filling out spreadsheets. And then you look at an engineer and it's like they're literally exactly the same what we were doing. Like, I was doing so much engineering work, and I think it's just, it would be a difficult kind of role to explain to people. But at the same time, like, I would love to educate people on, you know, creating that space for themselves, particularly women, and like getting involved.
Like, for your career for the next year, what do you think is like the next big goal for you?
I'd love to write a book. I've actually written a book.
Little drop there.
Yeah.
What would you write a book about?
So it's like a self-help kind of planner, but it's a little bit different to ones that are on the market now. Because like for me, I really struggle with routine. And that's something I'm quite open about on TikTok as well, is if I try and get myself in a routine, I end up a mess. Like, it just doesn't work for me. So it's kind of catered around people that can't get into a routine and don't like to commit to like manifestation planners and stuff, because a lot of the time you do fill them out and then you just put them in the drawer and you're like, oh, I forgot about that. At one point you stop filling it out, you stop reading it, and I've kind of created something that's a little bit different, but we'll see where that goes.
I'm a little bit like that. I feel like I've got 10 million manifestation planners or like financial planners, and I've done half it and I'm like, I'm done with that now. And then I'll come back to it and I'm like, yeah, this isn't for me. So I actually think when I saw your like routine content, I felt like I'd been seen.
Yeah. Because like, especially when you
post like stuff about tidying your room, mm-hmm. it sounds so weird and small, but sometimes I'll just look around and be like, it's not just me.
My room is so messy all the time. But again, it's like I try and get myself in a routine and it ends up making it worse. It actually ends up making it worse. And I'm like, okay, maybe I should just tidy as of when I can.
Well, which is, with your career, it's probably like never, right? Because you're always really busy. Like, and I've seen that you've worked with brands like Superdrug and W7, and you have your own makeup range with W7. Yeah. How did that come about?
That was another thing. I feel like everything I do is by accident. Like, I never intend to do anything. It just, I accidentally keep doing these things that end up being like quite iconic. I'm like, oh, oopsie. But I always used W7 makeup. My sister used W7 makeup. It was like a brand I grew up with. And then when I like edged into like doing a little bit more beauty content, absolutely not a makeup artist, not very good at makeup, but it was that relatable kind of like, well, this is what I do. Like, not right, but it works. And I was using W7 products, and they were the first company to ever send me like PR. So I made like a little video about their eyeshadow palette. I was so excited about that like PR package. I was over the moon. Like, I've still got the palette.
That's so cute.
That they sent me. I loved it. And they basically sent me PR and made a few videos, and then we just basically ended up teaming up together.
Oh, you shouldn't say it's an accident. You know, having to make that content.
It's the best accident.
Yeah, well, like accidentally manifested.
Yeah, no,
stuff,
literally.
Just without
full circle,
the panel.
Yeah.
I know that you've done other things as well. Like, you've written an article for Grazia. I know this was quite a few years ago, but I still think that what you wrote about is really relevant. And I even now look at it and related to it so much. And you wrote about how you wouldn't wish things like tattle on your worst enemy. And one thing that I found really shocking, surprising, and actually really irritated me was that when I was looking you up for things to talk about and things that you'd done, tattle was quite high on the search list, mm-hmm. which blew my mind, because it's not normally for a lot of people.
No, for mine's like quite up there. And it's like, I think I've got like a 30 page thread. Like, what is there really to talk about? I'm not that interested.
But I don't think, like, I find that because you're not a bad person, how is there 30 pages of things to write about?
I think the justification is like, oh, you chose to do this as a job, you should accept critique. And my argument always is like, there's critique, which in a 9-to-5 workspace, I would accept and take constructively. But then there's like, I wouldn't go into a workspace, like a 9-to-5 workspace, and expect my manager to be like, by the way, your forehead's massive, or like, by the way, your tan looks crap, or like, by the way, your boyfriend's cheating on you, by the way, your boyfriend's scruffy. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. You wouldn't expect that. So like, I think saying that it's like constructive criticism because I chose to put myself out there is just ridiculous. I don't think anyone deserves that.
They don't, but also I want to know what makes people think that their opinion is so important that they can voice nasty things on the internet in that way.
No,
or who
so
has
true.
The time?
So true. And it's always voiced behind a fake account. The thing is, if things like tattle and like gossip threads were okay, why do you have to do it behind a fake name and a faceless profile? Like, if it was okay to do it with chest, do it with your own profile.
Did it ever make you question the chosen career path you had gone down?
At one point, yeah, because I got a little bit obsessed with it. Like, I was constantly reading it. And I think, as I told you earlier, like, a rumour was put on there about my boyfriend cheating on me. And it was like, I think even the people on Tell were like, hang on a minute. Like, if you don't have proof, you shouldn't really be making those types of claims. But for that, I was just like, oh my God, like, I don't get a break. Like, he's not cheating on me. We're absolutely fine. We're very happy. And it was just like, at that point, I was like, oh, do you know, I'm going back into aerospace. I'm going to build aeroplanes again. No one tells me my boyfriend's cheating on me there. Like, it was like, it's a safe space. But right now, I'm kind of just like, well, it is what it is, whatever. Like, I don't think too much about it anymore.
You said that you were got into a weird space about reading it. Is that just because, like you said, as a person, you don't like upsetting people?
Yeah,
so
I don't
you're obsessively
like
looking for it.
Yeah, I don't like upsetting, but I hate upsetting people. Like, I'd never want to make anyone angry. And yeah, you do kind of get into this headspace of like constantly checking. You're like, okay, what are they saying now? What are they saying now? Realistically, it is mostly physical, like my physical appearance or like my voice or like my tan or things like that. But yeah, I hate upsetting people. I don't like making people angry. I don't like I hate the idea of somebody disliking my content when I really am just trying to do something nice. And I think that got me a little bit obsessed with like scrolling and reading it and reading it, but I don't read it anymore.
Did it ever ruin your self-esteem?
I think there was one that they took a screenshot of one of my videos. And I get, like, my hair falls out if I get stressed. So when my mum was poorly, like, I lost a lot of hair at the front of my head. And I think somebody took a screenshot of like, one of my TikToks, and it looked really bad. And they were like, oh, has she ever addressed the hair loss on the front of her head? And then someone commented underneath it, like, nah, she's just got a massive forehead, hasn't she? And I was like, damn.
Oh, wow.
What?
I know you said in that Grazia article as well that you found it really tough for your mum to find and read as well. I mean, how did your mum even come across Tattle in the first place?
So like you said, for some reason my Tattle thread is quite high up on when you Google me, and it's just very accessible. And my mum's like my biggest fan. Like, she Googles me like 3 times a day.
I love that.
She's great. So she'll Google me, she'll read me, and she just came across it and she was like, oh my God, what the hell is this? And I'm like, I'm so sorry you had to read that. Like, it's not nice for any mum to see. And even then they say things like, she didn't have to read it. And it's like, well, but she did.
That's the thing. And I think people don't really realise that people do read stuff and people's loved ones read the stuff as well. And it impacts them just as much as it impacts the person they're writing about. It's not a victimless comment
that
they're writing. I know, like, a lot of the content you have made has been about your mum. Your mum does show up a lot on your TikToks, and, you know, people that don't know, your mum, is it stage 3 breast cancer?
So she had like an endometrial, I can't say the word, a womb cancer.
Okay.
But it was quite tricky. It was very rare for someone like my mum to actually develop that sort of cancer. So I think even the doctors were quite confused. Like, we've got no idea how this has happened to you. But it was a stage 3, and she's like 6 months all clear now.
Oh, yeah, like, I remember that, which is amazing. But how did the diagnosis come about in the first place?
So it's one of those things. She had an issue like a long time ago. She went to a gynecologist, and I think they'd said the lining of her womb was coming out really thick. And they were like, no, that's completely normal. And a few years later, obviously, she's gone to the doctors, and they're like, this is like a breeding ground for cancer cells. Like, this is not normal. This should not be happening. So she went to get kind of like, as you do, scans, blood tests. And then they found stage 3 cancer, and it had gotten into her lymph nodes, which means it spreads. And she went into major surgery like not long afterwards to get like a full hysterectomy and her lymph nodes removed as well. And then they ended up finding the cancer in the lymph nodes, which meant potentially it could be somewhere else in the body. So she had chemo, radio, and she smashed it.
You were her main carer throughout her time having treatment, is that right?
I was like her emotional rock. So we had help with family and things like that. But where I'm now working from home anything she really needed, I was there with her. And we're lucky enough to have a family that are so close. So if she needed a lift to the hospital, she'd have a lift to the hospital. If she wanted to get out anywhere, if she needed anything, even if it was just like makeup or like bubble bath or something like that, she'd always have us there. But she's such a tough cookie. Like she didn't even really need care. Like I remember when she came back from the major surgery, she just looked like normal.
That's bold because I literally would have like a filling in my tooth and I'd be like...
Literally same. I'm very dramatic. She just walked in. She's like, yeah, I'm fine. And like she'd have chemo and she'd be in bed for a few days and it was horrible to see. And like obviously the side effects of chemo, they don't just go away. But then like 3 days later, she'd be like swinging the kids around like, way. And I'm like, go to bed, Audra. Like go and sit down. And she's just literally a rock.
How did it make you feel when your mum was first diagnosed?
It was so shocking. I was so shocked because my mum is literally like, she used to do like a Pilates class and then immediately after the Pilates class, she'd go do spin and then she'd walk home. Like was so into fitness. She's so healthy. Like when she phoned me to tell me, I literally was like, what? And when she was explaining to me in my head before she'd even finished her sentence, I was thinking what has happened to my dad because I didn't expect anything to be wrong with my mum. It was so weird. Like it was such a weird time. And it was just so unexpected. And even going home after she FaceTimed me and told me when I was on my way home. And then I got home and I'd like been sick on myself in the cab. I was just like wanting to panic. But I got home and she was just standing there like, it's fine. Like, come in. And I'm like, it's so weird because you hear the word cancer and that someone's got cancer and you expect them to just be very weak and vulnerable. But she literally was just herself and she's like, it is what it is. Like, we'll deal with it. Like, I was like, okay.
I've met your mum. She is literally the most amazing person ever. Though I think last time I saw her was outside Saving Grace's show. And I just walked up and I was like, hey, mum. And she just looked at me and was like, who is this person?
So she will absolutely blame this because she's got early stages of glaucoma. Okay. So she can't see very well. And I was running late and I was texting her like, okay, go and wait outside. I'm outside. And she said that she thought she heard me say, hi, mum. And she was like, I was looking around. I was like, no, it was Sharon. Like she was literally there. And she was like, was she? I was like, yeah. She said hi to you. You didn't even see her. She was like, oh.
Awkward. I was like, okay, maybe she doesn't like me.
No.
It's like, okay, that's really embarrassing. But no, I think it was really nice to see you share the vulnerable side of your mum going through cancer treatment on TikTok. Because I think that, like, you know, when you say create a safe space, I think people go to TikTok to look for things to like be relatable to. Yeah. And, you know, having someone be close to their family and show that the struggles in that way makes them feel normal. And it does, and you know, you've posted a lot of content about Matilda as well. Auntie. Bless her. The only thing I really remember, well, is my favourite TikToks when you put a roller in her fringe.
Oh my God.
And she was really angry with you.
She was begging me because I wear rollers. So she was like begging me for these rollers. I'm like, your hair's so short. Like, I don't know if it's... She's like, I want the rollers. I was like, okay, fine, I'll give you the rollers. Put the rollers in, and afterwards she was like, I hate it. I was like, well, you asked me for the rollers. Like, what do you want me to do? But oh, she's hilarious.
How did the TikToks with Matilda start?
It's so funny because she's only just turned 4. I think people think that she's a lot older than she is. Like, people are like, she's maybe think she's about 7.
Yeah,
6 or 7.
I can see that.
She's 4. She's just turned 4. She's a baby. But when I first started was about 3 years ago. So she was just a little tiny baby then. And obviously she'd be in like my Instagram and stuff like that. And then I think it's so sweet. Like my followers have kind of watched her grow up in a way. And I do look after her sometimes when my sister's at work. So I just thought, oh, we can just make a TikTok together because they're always asking how she is. Like, how's Matilda? How's the kids? I thought I'd just make a little TikTok with her. And then she just became like a TikTok icon.
Is it your channel or is it Matilda's?
It's like Matilda's channel. I'm just renting it.
I think, so apart from the potential of you writing a book, what do you think is next for Vickaboo?
I'd love to do more presenting work. I love the presenting work. Like, it's so nerve-wracking, but it's also like exhilarating. It reminds me of that feeling I used to get at work when I used to work in the engineering space. It's like thrilling. So I'd love to do more of that. I would love to do more things around women's health as well, because it's so important. A big part of me talking about my mum when she was poorly was I kind of linked into content about getting your smear tests. And I had a smear test and I was HPV positive when I had my smear test. And I found it so crazy that the only thing that came up on TikTok when I typed in HPV was genital herpes.
Yeah.
And I was like, there's nothing about smear tests on here and what it actually means to be HPV positive. So I'd love to do more content like that, maybe do some little speeches, places, I don't know, have to see.
I love that. I was just going to ask you a question about the HPV thing. Mm. What did it make you, how did you feel when you came back and it says HPV? Because was this before or after your mum's diagnosis?
No, it was after. So obviously I panicked like the second I opened the letter, but then when I actually read it, I was like, right, okay, let's not be drastic here. Let's just like take some time to do some research. And I spoke to one of the nurses at my local GP as well. And she basically just kind of explained to me, like, just see it as a nunny cold. Like, there's nothing you can do right now until you have your next smear so we can see if it's developed or gone away. She said, likelihood is it's probably just going to go away. Then I was a bit like, oh, okay, like it's fine.
So that, I mean, that's another thing, like to go and have your smear done, because mm-hmm. then now you know there's something to look out for mm-hmm. potentially
yeah.
down the line. Because I think I was really put off having my first one. You always hear the horror stories first, and then mm-hmm. and then actually when you've done it, you're like, it's really not that bad.
It literally takes 1 second.
It kind of tickles a little yeah. bit, the little brush. But it, like, at first, like, because when my mum had hers when she was younger, it was like not as nice as it is now. Mm-hmm. So I was always listening to my mum's stories, which is proof that my mum is not always right. Though if she sees that bit, because my mum Googles me as well, she will tell me off. So please don't see that bit. But what would you say to girls that want to get into STEM but are really concerned about the male space?
If you feel like there's not a space for you, make the space yourself. Because that's what I did. There, realistically, when I walked into that office on the first day, I was like, right, okay. There was hardly any women there. And it was like, I think I was quite lucky in the sense that my dad worked there and he's quite well respected. So I don't think I would have experienced some of the things I may have if there wasn't kind of that relationship already. But create that space for yourself. And I think one of the things I appreciate most about having that background is it really helped me find my voice. And I was never treated as like, don't raise your voice at her. Don't tell her off. She's a girl. Like, I was very much treated the same as the guys. And for me, that really built my resilience. Again, made me find my voice. Like, there is space there for you. Like, go and do it. And I know that a lot of people, when you think of the word engineer, again, you do instantly will probably think a man. But there is women in STEM. There was women in the space that I was working, build relationships with them and just go and smash it.
No, definitely. For the final question, what would you say to people that doubt your future success based on the fact that you're a young woman?
I think there is something very powerful about being a young woman. And I don't think that women don't know that, but I think sometimes they're not empowered enough to believe it. And I think being a young woman is the best. The whole future is in front of you. Like, what do they say? Like, you can open so many doors. You can do what you want. Experience new things. Figure it out. Figure it out yourself. Figure out yourself. And just follow your dreams. And just go for it. Because things do take time, but it will happen. Like, the most amazing thing about women is finding our voices. Because when that happens and when that kind of pin drops, it's like, oh my God, force to be reckoned with. And that will happen.
No, that's a really amazing way to end the podcast. And obviously every year is the year of the bad bee, not the yeah. sad bee. Like, every time I see your TikToks, that's the first thing that comes into my head. And I really resonate with that. And I do love that. And hopefully you get to do more podcasts and presenting work. And when your book comes out, I will be first in line to buy it.
Oh, I love it.
So thank you so much for losing your podcast virginity on Ooh. Mine. I wrote a naughty text and I pressed send to all, but I didn't realize he had teachers on his contact list.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy, thanks to Gold Belly. Gold Belly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Gold Belly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.